and welcome to Community Kitchen. I thought we'd start with Christmas in mind because it's actually the 11th of the 11th, of course, Remembrance Day, but it's getting closer and I thought today's a good day to actually start on that process. And I thought some of the things we could look at is maybe gifting, because I really love it if someone gives you a small jar of relish or something that they've grown. And cherry tomatoes are really in abundance, you know, when you've got a couple of bushes there. And cherry tomato and onion relish, very, very easy. 1 kg of onions chopped, a fresh green chili deseeded, which I think just adds a nice little bit of a flavour. About 4 cloves of garlic, 1 tablespoon of celery seed. And, of course, you can buy that in the ranges in the supermarket. About 400 ml of cider vinegar and 1 kilo of cherry tomatoes. You can quarter them if they're a bit bigger. About 250 grams of white granulated sugar. And you can put some little fresh basil in there if you like. But the whole secret, I think, to doing anything at all is making sure your jars are clean beforehand or ready to go. And I think a process for that is either the dishwasher. Or sometimes what I do is I give them a good wash in the sink with hot water, then I put them on a tray in the oven with the lids, and you know that the water is going to sterilise, it's all good, then you're ready to go. But what you're doing is putting the onions, the chilli and garlic in a preserving dish of some sort. You need a thick bottom because you need to be able to cook that for a little while. Add the celery salt and the vinegar and bring to a boil. Simmer for about 15 to 20 minutes. Until the vegetables are cooked and almost all the liquid has evaporated. Then you add the tomatoes, the sugar, and return to the boil and simmer over a moderate heat for about 30, because you want that sugar to start caramelizing and get that really beautiful flavor. And the tomatoes, of course, have got to be softened and the relish is thick. Remove it from the heat and stir in and put the relish in the hot sterilized jars and seal. I think it's really nice. You can either use a white sugar, it gives a better flavor, or a raw sugar, Muscovia, can be used instead. You can add different spices, put some fennel seeds, celery, fresh mint instead of the basil. But these are beautiful because nothing's nicer. A really good relish, have with a cheese sandwich. You can serve it with your hamburgers, sausages, kebabs. But it's something that's made from your kitchen, which is always a good start to any gift. Another thing I love to have is I love an onion marmalade. And I think these are really good because, say, for example, if you're making a really nice little savoury tart, a lot of people do the onion marmalade with goat's cheese, or I prefer a feta personally, but you can just make some really interesting combinations and it keeps really well. All you're needing there is about 800 grams of red onions, some 4 tablespoons of olive oil, some salt, about 100 grams of granulated sugar, 4 to 5 tablespoons of red wine vinegar, and some fresh thyme leaves. You slice the onions finely, heat the oil in a large deep frying pan and add the onions, sweat for about 35 to 40. Now just watch that. You don't want them burning, but you just want them to sweat down, and stir them frequently until they are very soft. You don't want them to brown. This flavour of the marmalade is too strong if you sort of cook them off. Once the onions have reduced, add the salt, the sugar, vinegar and thyme. Simmer until most of the liquid has evaporated and the marmalade is thick. And you put in your sterilised jars. Store that in the refrigerator. And seriously, it is delicious to have a marmalade like that. Fantastic, even if you want to add that to a gravy. If you're making, say, for example, a gravy for a meat dish or something like that, just put a little bit of that onion marmalade in just to heighten that flavour. As I said before, you can do that on your individual tartlets or into a flan. And, of course, nothing's nicer than a really good cheese sandwich with onion marmalade. And I think there's so many different combinations. I like to have a lot of different flavours, like, you know, I love fresh beetroot pickles. And I think I've shared this before. These just add some really good dimensions to something as plain as a really plain hamburger, for example. But if you've got these fresh goodies, they just lift it and really do give you a nice flavour. So when we come back, we're going to be talking a few more pickles, a few more goodies to put in that Christmas hamper. I made some preserved lemons just recently, and they really are so nice. It didn't take that long. It was just the processing of washing all the lemons, making sure the jars were clean, and just juicing and chopping. But at the end of the day, you've got those lemons that are going to last you for some time. And I've been putting them in salads. I use them in my roast chickens. I do, you know, lots of uses for them. If you're making a Middle Eastern rice, they're so delicious put in there because they've got that salty, beautiful flavour. So it's worthwhile because I think you'll use a little bit of it, but it goes a long way. And, of course, you're talking food on Community Kitchen and you're with Annette on 101.5 FM. And welcome back to Community Kitchen. We're talking Christmas. Get in the flow. It's now almost the middle of November. And, of course, we break in mid-December, so we've got to get these next few weeks talking Christmas. And I thought we'd do some nice gifting today. We'd talked onion marmalade, we've talked a cherry tomato relish, and I want to talk raspberry curd. I love lemon curd, but raspberries, we've got an abundance of raspberries in this region, and of course lemon curd's fantastic, but 1 kg of raspberries to about 450 grams of white granulated sugar, about 115 grams of salted butter, and 4 large eggs beaten. You need a double boiler. Put the berries and 2 tablespoons of water in a large saucepan and bring to boiling point. Simmer covered for about 5 minutes till the fruit is soft. Rub the mixture through a sieve at the top of a double boiler. You can also cook this curd in a water heat-proof bowl over a pan of simmering water if you don't have a double boiler. Add your sugar, butter, and eggs. Be mindful that you've got to be careful not to cook the eggs out. Place over the lowest possible heat and using a whisk, gently whisk the mixture until the sugar has dissolved and the butter has melted. Continue to simmer, stirring constantly with a wooden spoon until the mixture thickens. Then turn off the heat, stir again. And if you feel the curd isn't quite thick enough, heat again, but remember it will thicken further as it cools. A little bit like making caramel sauce, isn't it? It really thickens. When the curd has reached the desired consistency, pour into the hot jars and label. Store in the fridge. But to prevent curdling, stir with a wooden spoon and keep the mixture moving while you cook to ensure it does not stick to the pan. On no account must it boil or it will curdle. At the first signs of bubbles, remove from the heat immediately and set the top half of the pan into a large bowl of ice water. But if you watch it, I've found that you know, what happens otherwise, you get little bits of egg throughout, which is just terrible. It really is a textural nightmare for me. But I just find that just watching that and being very mindful of the temperature is the way to do it. And I also find that once you sort of get that temperature right, I've been able to actually produce the lemon curd without using the double saucepan. But you just have to know your cooking gear really well. If you've got a stove that fires up very quickly, use your double saucepan because it's going to save you a lot of grief. But getting that wooden spoon going is a really good thing. And I love a whisk. I've got a small whisk in my kitchen and large because it saves many a white sauce getting lumps. It saves lots of custard getting lumpy. And it really is the trick, I think, of all. Beautiful to have raspberry curd. I think that's a real bonus. And, of course, as I said before, we have so many raspberries in this region. It's absolutely amazing. Another nice thing I thought about, and I remember years ago, I made some beautiful brandied peaches. And peaches are coming on now. You'll start to see them. And make sure the product is always of good quality. So you need 3 or 4 large unblemished peaches. Spend your time and pick them out. About 100 grams of caster sugar, a vanilla pod, split lengthways, and about 500 mil of brandy. Now, you can either just make a really big jar for this and have this for your Christmas to have it with, you know, your pavlova, or your just beautiful with whipped cream. It really is just lovely. And so you're cutting across in the base of each peach, then you put them in a deep bowl, cover the fruit with boiling water and allow them to sit for 2 minutes, and you'll actually start to be able to peel them when they sit in that water for a little while. Just drain it then, and then leave for another minute. Cut the peaches in quarters and arrange in layers in the jar, alternately with the layers of sugar. Push the vanilla pod down one side of the jar, just, you know, making sure that you've got everything pressed tight. You don't want air. Pour over the brandy and seal and label. Shake it gently to help the sugar start to dissolve, and leave the jar in a cool day, dry, dark place. Now, you can leave that up to 3 months if you want, but if you just shake it gently, if you give it this month and shake it gently once a week, absolutely beautiful. And then you can serve the brandy straight from the jar, or you can strain it into a clear bottle if you prefer. But about 500 mils. So if you think of that and just make a couple of smaller jars, you're going to end up with a real treat. And that's very, very simple, economical, and absolutely delicious. And of course, it'd be nice if you use that with, as I said before, some cream, add the chopped fruit, some crumbled meringue, and you can serve that in some brilliant, beautiful individual glasses or jam jars, whichever you like. Just something a little bit different to serve on Christmas Day. We'll be back shortly with a couple of more recipes to entice you. You're with Annette on Community Kitchen. And welcome back to Community Kitchen. We're talking Christmas, we're talking presents, we're talking make your own, make something a little bit different. Everyone's had the pleasure of enjoying Japanese-style pickled ginger. Been to a sushi train bar, of course you've tasted. Absolutely beautiful. It really, really lifts the flavours so nicely. But if you want to make it yourself, it's not that hard. 400 grams of fresh ginger, and you don't need to actually peel it. Just give the slice of ginger as finely as you can, but give it a really good wash beforehand. And you just put the ginger slices in a bowl and cover with salt, mixing it through with your hands. Leave to stand for an hour or two. So using about 2 tablespoons of salt to 500 grams. Make sure you get your sterilized jars and lids ready. Strain any excess water from the ginger slices and discard. Put the slices on a clean paper towel or tea towel and press out any excess salt and moisture. Make your brine by combining vinegar and sugar in a saucepan over low heat. That's about 500 ml of rice wine vinegar to about 110 grams of sugar. Stir to dissolve the sugar. Bring it to simmering point. When the jars are cool enough to handle, you've just sterilized them, of course, pour the carefully pack your ginger into the jars and pour the hot brine over the ginger slices, making sure they're completely submerged. Remove any air bubbles by gently tapping each jar on the work surface, and seal them up and leave them to cool, and they will last for up to 3 months in a dark place, or you can put them in the fridge for up to 6, and absolutely delicious. And I often use the old secret of the red wine vinegar. And if I'm being really lazy, I use the sushi vinegar because it's already sweet and it is so quick. Sometimes if you're doing something like just ginger and carrot, I'll just grate off, after you've cleaned them, of course, grate up the carrot and ginger, and pack that in a sterilized jar, and I will heat the sushi vinegar and pour that in straight on top of the carrot and ginger. And by the time it's cooled, it's still got a crunch, but it's delicious to place on a salad or something like that. But I find that it makes a big difference on the preparation and making sure that you have really sliced finely. Fresh beetroot pickle is something I really like too. I will sometimes just grate the fresh beetroot, and in the saucepan I will put the one apple peeled and grated, along with one purple onion finely sliced, about a quarter of a cup of malt vinegar and one cup of apple cider vinegar, and about a third of a cup of brown sugar. And then I will bring that to a cook gently for about 15 minutes. And then you can either have the beetroot in there, or you can put the beetroot straight into the jars prior to, and just equally ladle out the apple, onion, malt vinegar, cider vinegar and brown sugar equally into each jar. The reason I like to do it like that is I love that little bit of a crunch. But if you don't mind, just put the whole lot in and it's beautiful. You can also add a little bit of pomegranate molasses for a different flavour boost. You can put some mustard seeds in there. It's really up to you for the combinations that you want to get different flavours. And there's so many different ways to do that. And it's always a nice, a different thing to have, as I said, with the preserved lemon. It's just something a little bit different. But there's so many different ways of preserving, and it can be as simple or as tricky as you want it to be. But even something as a pickle French shallot, the eschalots are a little bit dearer, but they're absolutely delicious. If you place about a quarter of a cup of apple cider vinegar, half a cup of red wine vinegar, a third of a cup of caster sugar, and half a cup of water into a saucepan, and bring it to the bowl, to the boil. You're wanting that sugar to dissolve, and then finely chop the French shallot in a jar, and pour the preserving liquid over, seal and cool. You can enjoy that with your roast beef, your burgers or salads. But another little trick I've found is some people just put a couple of little drops of pink dye. And it really changes that effect of the onion. You've probably seen that on lovely when it's sprinkled over potato salad, but exceptionally good if you've got a good roast beef and you want to have a little bit of the pickled onions on top. A couple of things to get you thinking for Christmas. And, of course, in the next week we'll follow up with some fantastic food ideas. Thanks for listening, and I'll be with you next week. You're with Annette on 101.5 FM.